Shall we do this thing then?
Probably.
I mean, we've been recording for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, but we haven't officially started.
Ah!
Fine.
Black and blow!
Couldn't get the hat trick. You couldn't do it.
No. Sometimes I gotta make you work for it.
I really thought he was gonna do it right away as soon as he said, alright, we're recording. And then he didn't and let us keep going on about beer, and I was shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Incident.
I do like beer discussions, so.
Just shocking that you still even like beer after the weekend you had, but, you know.
I am not drinking it currently, but I do have a fondness for it. Ugh, such a bad weekend. Such a good weekend, but such a bad weekend for my liver and kidneys.
Yeah, how long did that hangover last, like, days?
No, I'm not kidding, dude. After about 9 o'clock, I was good to go. I woke up at 5 o'clock and chugged a gallon, and I'm not even kidding, like, I just gallon and a half of water. I was upstairs 4 times to refill my water bottle and a large cup, and if I could have carried 3, I would have. But, like, I was just pounding those things left and right, and then I went back to sleep for a couple more hours, and I woke up, and it was, like, nothing.
All right. Well, what week did we just have? Week 10?
10.
It was week 10.
How do we feel about the week we just had?
I thought it was wonderful.
I am content with the result, but holy fuck, was that stressful.
Yeah, yours was fun to watch.
If you had told me going into the Monday night game that there was a shot in hell I had it pulling off the win, I'd be like, yeah, okay, whatever. No way. I mean, Dan had Van Jefferson and Matt Stafford, like, one touchdown pass to Jefferson, I'm done. It's game over.
He dropped 4 touchdown passes.
One badly. Four? Oh my
was,
God!
I know. He I mean, dropped one. 3, and then one he just didn't catch, and like it maybe would have been a touchdown, but he definitely dropped 3 straight up touchdown passes.
The one I saw in the third quarter where he was wide open and bobbled it.
I assume that Tom put a curse on Dan of some kind.
I'm just assuming whatever black magic you did to fuck over Eddie's team, you also did to Dan's team. I ain't messing with that no more.
If there was something I could do, I would have done it to Dan a lot sooner. So I was not stressing out all weekend waiting for him to beat me. It also didn't help that Nick Bosa did not score a single point until the fourth quarter.
Plausible deniability.
Just don't fuck with me, Clyde, and you won't find out.
Yeah, Eddie went back to fake team real quick, huh?
Real quick. And albeit he lost his number one player in Derrick Henry, but that is not an excuse. Losing Derrick Henry takes you from 220 a week down to like 180, 170. Has he broken 140 in the past 3 weeks?
He's been bad. I know that.
Week eight, Eddie had a 207.
And then Henry got hurt, and he hasn't hit he hasn't hit 140 since. So I don't know. It's I don't think he has an excuse other than he's just bad.
And he should feel bad.
I mean, he should absolutely feel bad.
I mean, I usually hear from him like once a Sunday, freaking out about something, and I did not hear from him at all. So I assume he just gave up immediately. Which is weird, because he was playing Eric, who, I mean, didn't do that much better. Although Eddie did get the award for worst manager of the week this week. Which is only funny because the best manager of the week was Caesar, who I beat. Which I think makes me the best. Just say.
Debatable.
That's what we're here to do, man.
I don't know how he got best manager of the week.
I think that just means he was the most efficient.
Yeah, he played his most optimal lineup. Well, the closest to his most optimal lineup.
Right.
Yes. Where do we want to start? Who do we want to dissect first?
I mean, should we get the painful one out of the way first?
Who's the painful one?
Eric and Eddie.
Yeah, I was going to say, who did Eric play? Because that one.
Yeah, this should be quick. All right, Eric.
You shouldn't have started Eddie. Russell.
I mean, I would have started Russell and then had a large drink of whiskey the way you are right now. But I get it. I mean, it's not like he has better options.
I mean, not that I love Tannehill, but I would have gone Tannehill. I mean, Wilson, he was back so early from what they were saying he should be, like, his projected return. And I just don't – I did not like it. While I'm surprised he did not at least get some points, you know, in terms of, like, in the actual game, I'm not surprised that he was a terrible fantasy option this week.
I saw a stat pre-Sunday that said the Seahawks had not won a game at Lambeau Field since 1999. Now, don't know how many games they've played at Lambeau Field since 1999, but I assume it's at least a handful. So do you think Eddie should have started Ramondre Stevenson instead of Mike Davis?
Absolutely.
What was the what's the point differential there? Mike Davis got 1.8. Is that it? Yep.
That is correct, and Ramondre Stevens got 27.4.
Oh.
That's, you know, a little different.
I mean,
you know what's worse than that? He started Mike Gesicki, who got 0 points. And I know what you're saying. Oh, man. 0 points for Mike Gesicki. It's worse than that. He had 7 targets and caught nothing.
It was very frustrating to watch as somebody that had a bet that involved Mike Gesicki.
How do you miss 7 targets? Never mind. I got Mike Allen, or not Mike Allen. Mike Williams. I've seen this show before. It hurts. It hurts a lot.
Don't worry. We'll get to Mike Williams in a minute. But yeah, I mean, this matchup was weird between these two. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of. I mean, I wouldn't have picked AJ Green to get. Well, I got. Never mind. AJ Green without the Arizona Cardinals wide receivers minus Kyler Murray are just not startable for fantasy.
Correct.
Purposes. Colt McCoy makes that team 100 times worse. Easily.
Yes.
Did you see what's happening in Carolina? Do you know what's happening this weekend?
Yes, I'm aware.
What
would you
Newton.
Like to tell us?
Cam Newton is going to start.
But who are they playing?
I have no idea.
They're playing Washington. And who is their coach?
Oh, my God.
It's Ron Rivera. Cam versus Ron.
This is all the makings of hilarity from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm. The favorite thing about this matchup that I've heard so far is somebody asked Ron if he ever held on to a book of plays or a stash of plays in case he ever had to face Cam, and his prompt answer was, yeah, of course. Sorry, Cam.
I feel like that's a stock answer. Like, yes, of course. I know who the players are, and I know playmakers.
Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on which side of this thing you're on, Chase Young tore his ACL and is out for the year, which is kind of a bummer that you don't get to watch him chase Cam around.
Yeah, no, I was proud to bring up at least Cam doesn't have to worry about Chase chasing him.
But I mean, you know, this matchup between Eric and Eddie happened, and it was something, and
it gave Eric his third win of the season.
It, you know, it actually pulled Eric out of last place. That and you know, I think assist to Clyde on that one, but we'll get there in a second. Yeah, so Eric is in ninth now. And so, Eddie dropped, this is how we're going to do standings this week. We'll just update him as we go. Eddie dropped into eighth. So he's down a few spots.
So this matchup has one thing that just, because of my situation, I look at every week. Their running back situation both makes me weep on both sides. Eric started Byron Scott and J.D. McKissick, which, ew.
Boston Scott.
Who did I say?
You said Byron Scott. Who is not a person.
Boston Scott and J.D. McKissick. And they got him 20 points. Who the fuck thought they were still in the league? Because I didn't. On the other hand, Mike Davis and Daryl Henderson got Eddie a grand total of 10 points. I have two running backs who I don't even know their name, and I almost got 10 points. So how those two got 10 points by themselves is just unbelievable. It's bad.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess luckily, Eric should get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back this coming week, so we can finally see how that Christian McCaffrey trade looks.
Bad.
In case we didn't know that already.
Bad. It's looking bad.
I mean, the fact that it's taking, like, when did that trade even go down? Was it like 5 weeks ago? And we're just now getting to see what it looks like in actuality. It's kind of amazing. Oh, also, Christian McCaffrey's good at football, as a slight spoiler for when we talk about Joe.
Bad. That trade looks bad. In case you didn't know and needed it spelled out.
Well, yeah, because the other players were Beasley and Latavius Murray, right? Latavius Murray hasn't played football. Literally no one in that trade has played football for weeks except for Cole Beasley, and he's played football in a not great fashion.
That's a trend with Joe trades, all right? That shit happens.
Oh, we'll talk more about that momentarily, Clyde.
I think that moment better come sooner rather than later. He's going to explode.
Well, it might as well. So anything else to say about Eric and Eddie here? Tom, you got any thoughts?
It was a pretty shit game, and I'm sorry for both of them.
Any more, you know, like Eddie specific thoughts?
You know, he has scored, what, 240 points in the last 2 weeks, whereas multiple times this season, some of us have done that in a week alone. I think he's hurting enough.
You don't want to rub it in?
I mean, no.
Glad, do me a favor. Use your psychic powers, read Tom's mind, and tell us what he's thinking about Eddie and his team.
Oh, psychically read Tom's mind? Okay, hold on.
Yeah, he's pointing to his brain. He's allowing you access.
I got this. Eddie's team is not a real team. Eddie's team's never been a real team. How does nobody understand that Eddie's team is awful? Eddie's team might be the worst team in the league by a wide margin. Eddie's team sucks. Eddie should feel really bad about how bad his team is. Just compress that into like 2 seconds and then expound upon that for the next half hour, because that's what he thinks about Eddie's team on a daily basis.
You missed the one big point, though, and that is that I am retracting my previously made statement of Eddie having a real team.
There you go.
It was premature. I apologize to the league. It will never happen again. Eddie, get a real team.
So, Clyde played Matthew.
I did. Well, I mean, my team showed up, ish.
Yeah, you were playing football. I'm not exactly certain what Matt was doing. What I think is humorous about your team, looking at it, is of the three options for Tennessee running backs, you managed to pick the worst one of the three. Which is just funny to me, because your running back situation is, and I'm including Eric and Eddie in this, the worst in the league. It's it, it, it it's worse than Caesar's because Caesar at least has one viable running back.
Only to be fair, I get David Montgomery back next week.
To be fair, nobody expected
Deonta Foreman.
Deonta Foreman, thank you, to be the best rusher of that trio.
So whoever is going to get him, my guess is going to be Dan. I don't know. Do we think Deonta Foreman's anything?
If I were in the same, if I were in a situation that Eric or Eddie or Matt, maybe not Matt. I mean, I don't look at his.
We'll get to that in a second because there's some developments there.
Either way, I mean, Eddie and Eric should both be putting a waiver claim in for Deonta Foreman. Will they? I don't know. But they should.
All right, Clad. Tell us more about your team.
My team won. Did anything else happen? Nobody died. Well, nobody got carted off, unlike Eric or Matt's team. You know, like, you know, Mitchell breaking a finger or Aaron Jones tweaking an ankle.
What I want to hear about from you, Clyde, is all about that Mike Williams.
Oh, right. About that.
What Mike Williams?
So
fair.
The Chargers offensive coordinator after week 4 or 5 when he had like 4 touchdown passes, was averaging 80 yards a game to 120, was doing really well, went, wow, that looks really great. We should stop that. I don't want to see a pass go more than 15 yards. Because the last 3 games, they have thrown maybe 5 passes more than 20 yards. Which would explain why Mike Williams is doing shit, because he's the downhill guy, or downfield guy. And why Herbert's doing so horribly, because he likes to throw it downfield. At this point, I think our offensive coordinator should be fired, and we should bring in Rex Grossman, so we can unleash the dragon and get the ball down there. I honestly think that the Chargers offense is ready for some Rex Grossman OC action.
I mean, I don't know about the Chargers offense, but I'm certainly ready for that. I would buy a Rex Grossman Chargers jersey immediately. Or maybe just like a visor, since he's a coach. A bad visor, it says Grossman on it.
I was about to say, be damn sure you don't give him a jersey or else he will be out there. He will be suited up, playing first down, second down, all four downs. We won't punt anymore.
Do you think that if we bought like a custom Chargers jersey and put Grossman on the back of it and shipped it to him, like we got his address and we shipped it to his house, do you think he would take that as an invitation and he would just show up at SoFi? Like, yes. Ready to go?
The next day. He'd walk onto the practice field and be like, all right, coach, let's do this. Why are you here? I got the jersey.
Then he'd get hit once, break a hip, and just leave.
But not before completing an 80-yard pass downfield into triple coverage. Probably for an interception, but that's not the point. So, Clyde, what happened to Matt?
Well, I've been saying it for weeks. Matt's team's bad. Actually, that's not true. I did say for like 3 weeks straight I was kind of jealous of his team. Not anymore! Matt, your team sucks!
I don't know what Matt's pivot plan is in terms of running back. Because in looking at his bench, he's got Devonta Freeman, so that dude could slide in there.
Melvin Gordon is his backup plan.
Right. As the person who has Javonte Williams, it's not a great backup plan.
I didn't say it was a great backup plan. I said it was a backup plan. There's a big distinction that needs to be made here.
Maybe I should trade him Javonte, then he can just start both Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. And it, you know, it's like having one running back at that point.
I mean, guaranteed 30 points-ish.
Yeah, 20 between the two points. Of them. Yeah. It's not a bad backfield to be, like, having both backs on your team.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he might get lucky every now and then, and they each might put up 20.
Yeah, it happened. Matt, let's talk. But, yeah, I mean, Matt's in a bad spot, and he was really clawing his way out of the bottom rankings there until Clyde came along and Pat Mahomes learned how to play football again.
What I'm hearing is I beat Matt twice in one season. And somehow this one was less close than the first one, which is really surprising. Last time he only lost by 30. This time he lost by 50. So I'm happy about that. I got that going for me.
I'm glad you feel better after last week.
I still don't think I'm going to make the playoffs, and I'm still rooting for the me, you, Matt, and Dan Bowl in the bottom four. But if that's not going to happen, at least I'll be in the playoffs. Ish.
So, speaking of standings update for this matchup, Matt is in last place, and Clyde, third place. Where were you last week? Four. So you're up one.
Moving it up.
Oh, and Matt, it finally happened. Matt has the worst record. Alone with the worst record. He's 3-7. Eric is 4-6. Not real team Eddie is 4-6. And Clyde, you're in third place at 500.
5-5, baby. But I've looked at the last three games of my schedule, and it's not pretty.
Not great?
I have to play both Joe. Not Joe. Yeah, Joe and Tom.
Not great. Not great, Bob.
That sounds terrible.
And Carlos, who I'm assuming will be fueled by all of the spite since Dan is no longer fueled by it. I feel like Carlos has taken that mantle and run with it.
That's a good idea. Let's talk about one of those two. Pick one.
Well, before, are you moving on from this matchup?
Not if you have more.
Well, there's one thing we haven't touched base on that is involved in this matchup, and that is the one Julio Jones.
Ah, Mr. IR himself, Julio Jones. I was thinking about that this morning and doing some looking ahead. Being on IR, he has to miss this past week and the next two games. After that, they have a bye, and then they have five regular season games left after that. He has to play in more than three games.
Yep.
Of those five, in order for Clyde to win. If he plays in three or fewer, I win. So all he's got to do is miss two more games.
It's coming down to the wire on this one, man. It's going to come down to the wire. It's going to be week 18, and you and me are going to be scratching and clawing, waiting for the fucking injury report to come out. Because you know he's going to miss one more. You know it. It's going to happen.
It's feasible that he misses the game coming out of the bye, and then if he misses one more after that, it's victory formation for me. I'm very excited about it. When we made this bet, I did not anticipate it being this close, and I'm very excited about it.
I am enjoying it as well.
It's coming down to the wire, and I cannot wait.
Speaking of bets, any other bets we have to talk about? Like maybe the one that Tom and Matt made?
Well, Matt owes me beer. He says it's coming. I'll believe it when I see it. But also, Matt also, for some reason, has Sammy Watkins, of which Clyde and I have a bet, of which I still have not lost.
I don't have much faith in this one anymore.
I think with Rashard Bateman coming back and doing as well as he is, and Sammy Watkins fumbling his one catch.
Here's the one thing that bothers me about this whole thing, right? It's not like he couldn't. If he could learn to fucking catch, he had a touchdown last week in the first series. Like, he had 10 points right there waiting for him if he could just catch it. But he lost it. And then they were like, oh, no more. We're done. So the ability's there. It's just not going to happen now.
All right. So we got to check in on... I saw Carlos's name first, so let's do Carlos versus Joe.
That was a lot of chat activity. It was rather entertaining.
Yep. Yep. That was another one that was close-ish until Monday night.
It was, I mean, going into Monday night, the projection was very close. Then it just kind of went Joe's way.
Debo will do that, apparently.
Yes.
And yeah, Carlos just, man. Like, his team did okay. I mean, Myles Gaskin. When will we learn to not start Myles Gaskin in an even week? It's just don't do it. Just don't do it. Start him next week, sure. But not week 10. Yeah, and he's got that. I really wanted, speaking of trades with Joe, really wanted Brandon Ayuk to go off. Really wanted it. I'm willing to bet that Joe even wanted it. To a degree. A slight degree. Not as much as Debo. But, you know, enough to continue the Ayuk revenge tour. But alas, 3 catches for 28 yards. I would not consider going off. I'm sorry, 26 yards. Which means he did as good as DK Metcalf. So I guess he's got that going for him.
Yeah, but DK Metcalf was playing with half a quarterback.
Sure. I mean, you don't expect Elijah Moore to be your best receiver when you have DK Metcalf, is all I'm saying.
Especially not when Elijah Moore is playing Buffalo.
Yes. And then, yeah, Carlos's team just kind of wildly underwhelming this week.
At least we'll in say, terms of his starters.
Sure. I mean, I would also think that when you have Antonio Gibson, you want to play Antonio Gibson, who got 21.8 points. But, you know, what do I know about anything? I mean, especially and Michael Carter, too. You know, I guess benching him against Buffalo, smart move. Smart mm-hmm. move. Don't blame you there. But then, you bench Michael Carter and Antonio Gibson, so you wind up starting Myles Gaskin. That's kind of how that works. And as previously discussed, just don't do that, Carlos. What are you thinking?
I guess he just wasn't thinking.
Clyde, any thoughts on Carlos's team?
I hope they all get COVID this week, but they're all false positives, but they all have to sit out a game anyway.
You must be playing Carlos this week, huh?
It's Carlos week.
More on that in the preview. So let's talk Joe's team. Tom, I'm going to have you talk Joe's team.
This was one of the sadder performances for Joe's team. Lamar Jackson did terribly. I mean, he did terribly. I'll stand by that statement. Cordarrelle Patterson got hurt, which is probably really going to hurt him. Probably not, let's be honest. I don't know. I mean, his team, it's just so stacked. It's going to be hard to beat at any point. I mean, McCaffrey's back, like we said earlier. Dude knows how to play football.
Yeah, almost 30 points of him. I don't understand how defenses aren't just constantly double covering Cooper. Like, at this point, we're in week 10. Just take him away. What are you doing?
That's
fair. But the Rams still lost.
Here's the thing on that, Mike. They are. But Cooper Kupp is such a good route runner and knows how to create his own space. He gets open. It makes us. They did a whole breakdown on this. It makes no sense how good at getting open he is. Additionally, I even told Tom this at the beginning of the game last night. The first two passes, I think, were to OBJ just to start off. And I was like, there's a reason they did that, and it's to prove that they will throw to his ass. They don't want to, but they will, so you can't just cover on Cooper Kupp. If I'm any defensive coordinator right now, I'm telling a defensive back to get up in front of him, pop him off the line, and have another guy behind him the entire time. So yes. Don't let that motherfucker beat me.
And speaking of OBJ, I would just like to throw in here that OBJ promptly joins the Rams, and they get drummed. What was the final score of that game? Like 30-7? I stopped watching. That's how bad it was. That, and I realized that
it was 31-10.
Okay. All right. All right. They got a field goal.
You're counting the touchdown that he dropped, and then the touchdown that he let go through his hands, and then the other touchdown that he didn't try on.
Yeah, the receivers were bad, and I can only assume it's because Odell Beckham Jr. is cursed, and any team he's on just right into the ground.
If they missed the playoffs this year, I would be so happy. I would hate it. No, I'd love it. I would actually love it. There's not a single player on that team that I actually like, so fuck them. I hope they lose and don't go into the playoffs, and OBJ is cursed yet again, and the entire team looks at him and goes, this is your fault, motherfucker. We lost Robert Woods because of you. We lost the playoffs because of you. Get them.
Immediately. He gets there, shows up for practice, and Robert Woods tears his ACL. What?
My favorite joke is that his dad did it. Like, his dad Tanya Harding the shit out of him as soon as he got there.
I'm mad at the Rams. I'm going to tell you why I'm mad at the Rams. Because the Rams lost. And because the Rams lost, Kyler Murray's on track to come back. You know, he's like, I feel great. I made aggressive progress on my ankle, yada, 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 yada. Rams lose last night, and immediately today, Cliff Kingsbury's like, I don't know if he'll play. Kyler's cutting it close. Probably not going to happen. It's like, of course you're going to keep him out. You don't have to win a game because the Rams lost a game. Fuck you, Rams.
Yeah, care more about our fantasy football.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. That's exactly what I'm saying. Why can't everyone needs to care about my team specifically and only some other teams that I also happen to manage.
I see your point, Tom, but that's the wrong mindset. All right? Our job here is to care about our fantasy teams. After this, we can care about them all at once. But during this time and during matchup Sundays, I need him to play if he's on my team. I need him to have, like, some injection or robot leg put in so he can walk. I need him to be on that field.
Exactly. What are we talking about? Right. We were talking about Joe's team. And if you could go ahead and give me an update on the starting roster that is his bench and see, kind of where's that at?
Well, his bench definitely did not outscore his starting lineup, but they still did pretty good. He picked up Taysom Hill, and I'm not sure why. Jalen Hurts put up 20 points, you know, Lamar Jr. Daryl Williams, almost 30 points on his bench. Kind of a waste. Other than that...
Do you mean running back number 6? Or whatever the fuck it is?
Daryl Williams from Kansas City?
Yes, but on Joe's team, I mean, what do you got? You got Kamara, you got McCaffrey, you got Kareem Hunt eventually. Yes. Maybe number 4. Maybe I'm underselling, but I feel like there's more there.
That is correct. Yeah, yes. He's got too many running backs. And the problem is there's nothing any of us can offer him for any of them in a trade.
No, because he also has all of the best receivers. Most of the best receivers. I will not give up on Keenan Allen.
You should probably give up on Keenan Allen.
Mike Williams has fallen off a goddamn cliff, and because Mike Williams has fallen off a goddamn cliff, Keenan Allen has put on his sleeves, become Sleevin' Allen, and is doing great. You know I'm right. Look at the stats. Look up the stats for Keenan Allen in sleeves versus Keenan Allen not in sleeves. Keenan Allen in sleeves is a fucking hero.
I'm not even going to argue with that. If they would win a fucking game, though, that'd be great.
Yeah, also of note, they are 1-3 since Mike Williams fell off that cliff.
Again, they need to take the OC, put him in a cannon, and shoot him somewhere into the Pacific Ocean and hire Rex Grossman. Problem solved.
Let's talk about me and my matchup with Dr. Joe Rogan.
What did Cesar do this weekend?
Probably not Adderall.
I mean, he took DeAndre Hopkins out of his lineup. All right,
smart move.
I honestly don't know that he could have done any better.
Yeah, no,
he was the best manager. He made all of the right decisions.
Here is what I don't understand about looking at his roster.
I honest to God think he did perfect. He put in the most optimal lineup, except for TJ Hockenson. Never mind, missed that one. The 0 points he got from Hockenson, kill it.
But to be fair to him there, what are you, not playing TJ Hockenson?
I mean, I'm playing TJ Hockenson on every
game. I'm playing TJ Hockenson, come on. Why he got 0 points I don't understand it. And it's, you know, reference the Mike Gesicki conversation from earlier. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, the only thing he could have done better was to put in OBJ instead of Hockenson, and who does that the day after he gets traded, right?
Yeah, he made all the right calls with the exception of Hockenson, and again, you're not playing Hockenson. You gotta do that. You know, he just, like, had to start Brandon Bolden, who still got 10 points. Like, that's not a bad showing. I mean, certainly did better than Javonte Williams did for me. So can't really be mad at that. I mean, I started Matt Ryan, who got 1.85 points. Tom, you could have done better than Matt Ryan.
You know, that's saying a lot, and I appreciate that. But I'm going to take it a step further and say I could probably have done better left-handed than Matt Ryan.
Ooh, the confidence. I like it. I don't think Clyde could have done better than Matt Ryan because Clyde would have been playing on a FOBAB hangover.
It would have been similar.
Yeah, it would have been about the same. Maybe like one less interception because you would have just stopped throwing it.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe I ran into Matt Ryan at FOBAB and just didn't know it.
I mean, dude had 2 interceptions, a fumble, and 2 sacks. If that's not a FOBAB performance, I don't know what is. But yeah, you know, I had in what my mind is a below average week, at least offensively. Defensively, everyone came to play, with the exception of Shaq Barrett. And I'm very excited about it. Hopefully good things ahead, except for this coming week, but we'll get to that momentarily. Standings update for the last 2 matchups we talked about. Joe is in second place, as always, at 7-3. Carlos has taken quite the tumble, because he was in third, I believe, and is now in fifth. I jumped up 2 spots from 6th to 4th, which feels much better to me to be in 4th. And Caesar, all the way down at 6th, so I think he only dropped 1 spot. And that's the updated standings with 1 matchup left to talk about. That matchup being Danvers Tom.
I was scared. I wasn't scared going into the weekend, but I was terrified going into Monday night.
Yeah, it was close. I mean, I checked, I think, right before the game started, and Dan was projected to win by, I think, like 6 or 7 points, something like that.
Something like that, yeah. I mean, I knew the only hope I had is if somehow Matt Stafford put up another terrible week, which, I mean, who expects Matt Stafford to, with his receiving core, to put up back-to-back terrible weeks?
I mean, he looked – it wasn't his fault, right? Like, that was – having watched most of that game, drops all over the place.
All over. The interceptions, his fault. Well, I guess there were only 2. The third one got overturned. The first one, absolutely his fault. The second one, Higbee's fault. Other than that, yeah, his players just need to catch the ball.
Specifically, Jefferson needs to catch the ball.
I'm going to need the 2 of you to take a look at Dan's bench.
Oh, no, I don't want to look. I know Dan's bench. I've looked at Dan's bench.
It is astounding. I have, with the exception of probably Joe earlier in the year, never seen a bench performance like this. Like, holy shit. We've got Tony Pollard because, you know, the Cowboys were up 43-3 on the Falcons in, like, the beginning of the third quarter. So Tony Pollard got almost 17 points. A.J. Dillon. You're not starting A.J. Dillon ever. But Aaron Jones goes down, and A.J. Dillon steps right in and gets almost 30 points. James Robinson actually played and got 18.4. Mark Ingram without Kamara got 20.8. Corey Davis, of all people, in the double digits, along with Jacoby Myers, who actually got a touchdown. Christian Kirk getting double-digit points with Colt McCoy at quarterback. 7 catches out of 8 targets. What? I mean, you could not ask for a better bench day. And that just did not translate into his starting roster at all. Fuck you, Dan.
But also, like you said, who of these people are you starting?
None of them.
Over
none of.
I mean, maybe James Robinson. Maybe. No, ultimately, I don't think I would have made many different calls. I mean, the Van Jefferson, maybe. Maybe, but having that stack, given Robert Woods' injury, is pretty nice. And I honestly thought that was going to be my downfall this week, and I got lucky.
I'm telling you, man, the luck's going to drop at some point. Has to. Has to.
Probably.
I agree. Statistically speaking, the luck has to wear off. Also, as a many-time champion of this league, sometimes it just doesn't. And you keep going. Except for the problem here is, Joe is as lucky, if not more lucky, than Tom.
I'm not sure I agree with that statement, but
tell me
I
more.
I don't really have a solid argument. I mean, Joe's team is way more stacked than mine. Like, I have almost no depth. If I lose, like, my depth comes in the way of having the backups to my starters. So bye weeks have been kind of tough. I've gotten very lucky with those. Joe, he could lose 3 running backs this week and have 3 more that are plenty worthy of plugging right in. Aside from that, my team did just good enough.
It did do just good enough. Just good enough to beat Dan. And Tom, what do we say around here when we beat Dan?
Fuck you, Dan.
Yeah, fuck you, Dan. Clyde, you got something for Dan?
Fuck you, Matt. Oh, Dan. Fuck you, Dan.
Nice. All right.
Now, Mike, I do have one question.
Yeah.
One question. Standings update. Dan is now in 7th place, which I believe is a move up for him.
It is. 1 spot.
Now, and this is a point of confusion for me. So I'm in 1st place. You know. When I look at the standings.
Wait, is that what the standings did? Did Tom move up to 1st place this week?
Anywho, when I look at the standings on the app, next to the number 1 is an asterisk. I don't see that asterisk on the web app. Do you know what that asterisk means?
I'm going to assume that it means you are clinched for the playoffs.
Great, that's all.
Thank you for that lovely transition, because that was the fun thing I wanted to get to before the forecast for the week.
Oh boy.
What I have here is a fun little tool that doesn't really actually mean anything, because I think it's based entirely on past performance and not potential future performance. But we have the playoff odds for the league. They are as follows. A note, these odds are calculated purely from the history of each team's scores this year. It does not take projections or bye weeks into account. It uses data to run 10,000 Monte Carlo simulations of each matchup given a team's average score and standard deviation. So that is what we are currently going to be talking about. All right. So Tom has a 93.73% chance at finishing in first place. He has a 100% playoff odds chance. Joe has a 6.2% to 8% chance at getting first, but a 91.93% chance at coming in second. I have a 39.07% chance of coming in third, a 32.25% chance of coming in fourth, 15% or so at fifth, and 7.8% at sixth. So I have a overall, oh, sorry. Joe has a 100% chance of making the playoffs. I have a 95.35% chance of making the playoffs. Coming in fourth is Clyde. who has a, I forgot to mention this for myself, I have a 1.08% chance to come in second. Clyde has a 0.45% chance to come in second, so I am saying that there's a chance.
You could say there is a Clyde of a chance.
I could. And I will. There's a Clyde of a chance that Clyde comes in second overall. With an overall 87.5% playoff odds.
I like those odds.
They're not bad. You know who else is listed in the playoffs right now, according to this?
Matt.
Right after you in fifth place.
Matt.
Damn. With a 7.58% chance at third, a 17.2% chance at fourth, a 23.8% chance at fifth, and a 23.72% chance at sixth for overall playoff odds currently in after week 10 at 72.3. Carlos is the sixth. And what's interesting is Dan has a 0% chance at finishing in second and is ahead of Carlos. But Carlos has a 0.27% chance to come in second. 16.3 for third, 14.7 for fourth, 18.15 for fifth, and 15.1 for sixth for an overall 64.53% shot at the playoffs. But wait, there's more, because right after him comes Caesar with a 50.5% chance at the playoffs. He's right on the bubble and just needs a couple of things to go his way in order to get there. What Tom is going to hate is that Eddie has a 23% shot at the playoffs. 23% is pretty fucking big for a league where the third place team is 5-5. Oh, also the fourth place team is 5-5. I think the fifth place team might also be 5-5. This is great.
5-5 is a respectable score. Damn it.
I completely agree with you. In fourth place at 5-5. Bringing up the rear.
Wait. Some would argue that 5-5 is a better score than most of the ones above and below. We're balanced.
Ooh.
Balanced. Yes. We're not top heavy and winning all of the games and doing all the things.
No, we're proportional.
We're not losing every week. We are balanced. Eat it. Tom.
So, week 11 forecast, starting with Tom, because reasons. Tom, what is your projected win odds?
I'm going to go with 75%.
87.58.
Which I like these numbers.
Eric's win odds are 12.43%. And that just means I want Eric to beat you. So, but I don't know how he would do it, but 12.43% odds is entering never tell me the odds territory, and I want a win from that territory real bad. Tom, your average weekly score?
205.
210.49.
All right.
Which is 5 points less than Joe.
Fuck you, Joe.
Eric's average weekly score. Clyde, any guesses?
Eric's average score?
Eric's average weekly score.
150.
168.6. Wow. It's actually higher. Yeah.
I thought he was being generous.
Nope. You're right. I'm probably thinking Eddie's score on weeks that don't have Derrick Henry.
We'll get there.
We will. But first, I play Joe. I don't feel confident, and it's going to go poorly, I'm certain. I'm not even going to look at what Sleeper is forecasting it as, because I'm sure it's better than what my handy-dandy chart is going to forecast it as. So, my win odds are...
3.
Fuck you. And
I'll give you 25%.
Against Joe,
Your percentage will probably be in the 30 to 40 range.
Okay. All right. So it's 25.73. So Tom must have some sort of like magic forecasting crystal ball kind of thing going on. In no way, shape, or form have we already talked about this matchup and somehow weren't recording. Tom's definitely really good at math, right?
I legitimately don't remember us talking about this from the previous not recorded portion of this.
Which makes Joe's win percentage 74.28%. Preemptive congrats on your win, Joe, because it's basically like Tom versus Eric as the biggest margin for victory, and then Joe versus me, and that's pretty much what it is. But Joe's average weekly score is 215.82 and mine is 188.49. You know, I've had some bad weeks and Joe has had some just motherfucking monster performances. Next up, and totally haven't talked about this yet either, Clyde, what's happening in your matchup this week?
I'm playing Carlos.
So what does that look like on Sleeper? I think currently projected to be a 6-point difference. You're both 5-5. You're 6 points ahead, but you got some bye weeks to consider.
We both have some Rams players to take out of that matchup.
Right. So what are we looking at on my handy dandy chart, which I will refer to in no other way from now on? Are you projected to win, I guess, according to my chart? Do you think you're favored?
I still think Carlos is supposed to win.
You are actually favored here on both Sleeper and in my handy dandy chart.
Yeah, but how?
But like past performance. How? Remember, Carlos was in the bottom boys for quite some time.
Oh, see, your thing is skewed by recent success. Or not recent success. Yeah. Past
failures, I think, failures. What you're talking about. Yes, it is skewed by past failures. It is not taking into account future projections, like trades that have been made and will change things. It's taking into account solely the poor, awful, stupid Miles Gaskin starting, Jamar Chase trading decisions that were made. Oh, by certain teams.
That's right. You brought back the point. It's not factoring in the fact that he traded away Jamar Chase for a bag of chips and got Antonio Gibson and then sat him when he did his best in the last 3 weeks. And oh, Carlos, you should be a better manager.
Clyde, what are your win odds?
Dude, if I'm gonna win, it's gotta be like 51 or 52%. There's no way in hell I'm high up there, man.
55.3.
Fuck off. That's bullshit.
I'm gonna lose. You want it to be lower?
I'm gonna lose this week, and I know it.
Your average weekly score is 189.81. Tom, what is Carlos's average weekly score?
I am gonna go in the 190 range.
182.81, which is lower than both me and Clyde and Tom and Joe. And I just wanted to highlight that real quick. Next up,
Matt and Caesar.
Tom, what do you think? Who do you think is the Caesar favored? You are exactly correct. By how much? Looking for percentage.
Like, what is his win percentage?
Percentage, yeah.
Oh, I think it's going to be something ridiculously high, like 90-something.
Not quite that high, but still pretty high. 67.83%. Caesar's average weekly score. Any shots in the dark?
I'm going to go 187.5.
184.53. Not bad, Tom. Which means that Matt's win percentage this week is 32.18. And that is due to an average weekly score...
ballparking here, but mid 120s, 130s, actually 135.
I'm actually surprised you allowed him that many points. 171.29.
I again call bullshit.
Which is not the lowest.
Oh,
but it's
right.
Only not the lowest by 3 points.
I'm sorry. I'm basing everything I say off what he did last week when he lost to me with 130 points. Did he even crack 130 points? Oh, Matt, your team is bad.
So who's going to win, Eddie or Dan? What are the odds?
Dan, by 20%.
You are correct on the first part. Dan is favored.
Oh, I think he's going to be in the 62.5% range.
You'd be wrong by about 10%. 52.33. This is projected to be the matchup of the week because that means Eddie comes in at 47.68. Dan's average weekly score, 184.41. They are separated by a Clyde. I'm not sure how Dan should feel about that, but I think the general vibe that the handy-dandy chart is going for is, fuck you, Dan.
You know, I want to say fuck you, Dan, on this one, just because it's fun to say fuck you, Dan. I don't know why. I blame Mike for that. But I think Dan's going to pull this one off.
Well, that's because you have a wild, passionate distaste for fake teams.
This is true.
So wait, is Dan a real team?
Of all of my matchups this year, none of them have scared me more than my matchup with Dan.
What about that one time I beat you?
Yeah, but see, you beat me so assuredly by like the end of the noon games that I didn't have time to be scared. I just went straight into morning.
Got it. We skipped a few stages. Cool. That makes me feel even better. I love looking at your team being 9-1, and I love being the one. It's my favorite.
I mean, I wish you could have seen him that night. The tears, the sobbing, the uncontrollable sobbing, if I may.
Like full body heaves.
Yeah,
I think he's talking about his FOBAB hangover night.
It was like. You know how some people are pretty criers that can get away with it and they don't look like absolutely... Like, he had the look of mascara running down his face crying. Like, it was just not pretty. And, there was no consoling him. None.
Truly heartbroken. It's the worst day of my life.
You know, I shouldn't say this because he's going to get mad, but I did read that in his diary.
I'd like to know where you read this into my diary, because I didn't know I had a diary.
You don't know the one that's right underneath your pillow? Not the
No, I don't. I'm going to have to go check for said diary and then find out who the hell is ghostwriting my diary.
With the little unicorn on there? Farting at the rainbow?
That sounds very like cute. The type of, very of, cute. Of diary I would have, but like...
That's why I was like, this is definitely Tom's diary. It even says Tom's diary on the first page. It's very cute. Not gonna lie.
Uh-huh.
Changing my team name to Unicorn Diary. I just want you to know that. Tom's Unicorn Diary. That's what it's gonna be. All right. I mean, that's the week forecast. Did it a little differently this week, which made it a little longer. Maybe we'll shorten that up next week. But... let's see, other business we have to take care of. Yes, commissioner's announcement. We are heading into week 11. A reminder, the trade deadline is week 12. So if you've got some business to do, do it soon. You don't have much longer to do it. If you think your team needs a couple more pieces, get those pieces. If you're not going to make the playoffs and you want to sell off your team, don't. Don't do that. Because another reminder, this year, we are doing a toilet bowl for the bottom four teams. What that means is you have to win and you're out. And out is a good thing because the winner of the toilet bowl gets punished. And I guess you really never have to do the punishment because Caesar still hasn't done his and it's November 16th, 2021. And it was due like 3 months ago. I don't think you want to be punished, but if you'd like to go ahead and throw the toilet bowl, make sure you win the toilet bowl, and then set an example for future teams that have to be punished, go for it.
As a reminder, if you like to be punished, we don't kink shame here. We accept you as you are.
What else we got, boys?
I don't have anything clever, but I'm out of whiskey.
Well, I guess we gotta go then. Bye. Fuck you, dude.